Praise God. That was great. We're in the book of Titus tonight, chapter 1. The book of Titus, that's in the New Testament. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, toward the end of the New Testament, you'll get to the book, of course, of Revelation at the very end. Then go back to your left. Several pages, you'll find Titus and the last of the pastoral epistle books here. And, pardon me. And I guess I should include Philemon in that, but Titus here, chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. And this will be a little bit different type message tonight. You'll understand that as we get into it in just a little while. And something to share with you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. And then we'll get into this a little bit tonight. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. Titus chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 4. Would you please join me on the even numbered verses? Our Bible says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Heavenly Father, you please take our hearts tonight. We give them to you. And would you please bless us through the message? Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to enter into what we have to share tonight with great anticipation? Lord God, we love you. We don't understand everything that you allow to come our way, but we sure appreciate what you do for us. And so tonight, God, as we have an unusual message, a message of information for our church, I just pray that you'll speak to us and help us and bless us, and we'll thank you for it. Speak to us through preaching, as you have so many times. And we'll thank you in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you, BC.
I'm forgiven forever through God's only Son. Forgiven forever, a new life's begun. Christ was born in a manger, he lived and he died for me. I'm forgiven forever, the grave has no power. Forgiven forever, from this very hour, all praise to the Son of God, I'm free. Glory to the King of Kings, who died on Calvary. Glory to the Son of God. He paid the price for all my sin and rose in victory. The Word of God has spoken, the tempter's power is broken. All praise to the King. Forgiven forever, my darkness is gone. Forgiven forever, to Him I belong. And someday in heaven, my crown's at His feet, I'll bring. I'm forgiven forever, with Him I shall live. Forgiven forever, to Jesus I'll give my worship and praise, to Him I'll sing. Glory to the King of Kings, who died on Calvary. Glory to the Son of God. He paid the price for all my sin then rose in victory. The word of God has spoken, the tempter's power is broken. All praise to the King of Kings. I'm forgiven forever. All praise to the King of Kings.
That's wonderful. God bless you. I want to draw your attention to verse number 3, where Paul wrote, but talking about God here, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Notice that phrase right there. And I want to speak for a few moments on God's chosen vehicle. God's chosen vehicle. All right? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we might have salvation, be forgiven forever, and be free. Oh, God, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, we enjoy freedom tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not unbounded, not boundless freedom to go out and live like we want to. No, we're constrained by many principles and truths in your word. The more we're free tonight from the old curse of sin. Oh, thank you for that. The penalty of sin and power of it, one of these days, will be delivered from its very presence. And so we rejoice in the good song we just heard. Help me, I need your blessing tonight. Believe at this church. Thank you for these wonderful folks. Thank you for the mothers who are here tonight. Each and every one of them. Bless them on this, their special day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Titus was a preacher. So the letter that Paul wrote to him was from one preacher to another, from an older preacher to a younger preacher. And it didn't take long for Paul into this letter to mention the subject of preaching in the third verse. He mentions the matter of preaching. He says, but hath, talking about God, hath or has in due times manifested his word through preaching. Now, in verse number 2, Paul said that God first spoke before the world began. We know that is true. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means before the heavens and earth were created, the word of God was already in existence. All right? And so he said he first spoke in verse number 2 before the world began. But then Paul said, God hath in due times, recent time, at the right time, at the necessary time. You and I use that word due. It's due time you get that done. Okay? It's high time. It's now. It's the season for it. He said he hath in due times manifested. That word manifested means made known. That's what it simply means. Manifest means to make known. So God, in due times, makes known His Word through preaching. That heralding of divine truth. That's what the word preach means, to herald divine truth. And folks, you know, you heard some preaching this week, and of course we preach here every Sunday, and I'm not a soft-spoken preacher. There are times in the course of the message where it's necessary to be soft-spoken, but I believe with all of my heart that, you know, you think, I don't know what kind of mental picture you get of a herald. That's what the word means, to herald divine truth. But I picture the old days of the chariots, and the king has a message to get to his people, and there's a man that stands on the back of the chariot, and the trumpet blows, and they gather all the folks together, and he lifts up the parchment and unrolls it, and hear ye! He's heralding. He's heralding the message of the king. And I feel like that's what God calls a preacher to do, to herald the message and to herald it. And so God said, or Paul wrote to Titus and said, Titus, that God has, he spoke before the world began, but he said in due times, in recent times, he has manifested or made known his word through preaching, the vehicle that God has chosen to make known His Word down through time is the vehicle of preaching. And my, how God has blessed the preaching of His Word. And why not? It is the chosen vehicle to make His Word known. Now, as Baptist people, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every born-again child of God can talk to God for himself. We believe that every born-again child of God can hear from God. We believe that. There doesn't have to be any middleman. Our middleman is the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And I remember some weeks ago, one of the ladies, I think I told you that, asked me about the chapter, the passage over in Romans 10 about confessing with the mouth. And does that mean going to a priest like the Catholics do? And I said, no, it doesn't mean that at all. A man cannot forgive another man's sin. A man who is a sinner cannot absolve a man of sin. It takes someone who never sinned to forgive someone who has. Our middleman is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And so we believe in the priesthood of the believer. That means every child of God can wake up tomorrow morning and sit down with your Bible and read it, and the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and speak to your heart. That's a wonderful thing. And then on your way to work, or maybe there at the house, you can take a little list or whatever you have, maybe a little booklet, and open it up, and you can talk to God. And you don't have to have your pastor there. And isn't that a blessed thing in a time of emergency? You know, it's fine to call the preacher, one of the assistants in time of emergency, but isn't that a blessed thing that in a time of emergency, a child of God can talk immediately and directly to God right there, right on the spot? And so that's what we have, the blessed privilege. But we have that blessed privilege, but it doesn't change the fact that God still makes His Word known through preaching. So as a priest in this day and age, I have access to God, and God can speak to me, but that doesn't change the fact that God still makes His Word known through the vehicle of preaching. How many times since you've been saved has God spoken to you through preaching? How many times? I was saved in a public preaching service. Some of you folks were saved in a public preaching service. Others of you were saved in other places. I was saved in a public preaching service. I was called to preach in a public preaching service. I've made decisions about committing to Christ in a public preaching service. I've made decisions about following Christ in a public preaching service. I have made decisions about my service for Christ in public preaching services. God has graciously made His Word known to me through the vehicle of preaching. Through the vehicle of preaching, I have learned His truth. And through the minds and the lungs and the lips of God-called preachers who preach the Word of God, I have learned that blessed book. I try to tell people that often when I'm trying to encourage them to get it. You know, and I've said this before, you know this, if you're out and about in these days, church used to be a part of the American culture. No longer is a part of the American culture. You got folks out there today who have never darkened the doors of a church. And now when you get, you know, used to when you were able to lead folks to Christ, they were already in the habit of attending some church. And so to get up and go to church on Sunday morning was just something that they did. And maybe they didn't go where they could hear the truth, but they went somewhere. And nowadays, you know, when you lead folks to Christ, they're not used to getting up on Sunday morning. And Sunday's everybody's relaxation day and ball game day. And all that stuff. And so I lost my train of thought there. What am I thinking about? I lost my train of thought completely. That's a blessing, isn't it? I don't know what I was going to say about being in church. But anyway, God has spoken to our hearts through the vehicle of preaching at churches. I said through the lips and the larynx, through the minds and the lungs and the lips of God-called preachers. Jack Hyle said this. He said, preaching is teaching on fire. D.L. Moody said this, the best way to revive a church is to build a fire in the pulpit. That's what he said. I like that. Daniel Webster said this. It's a little bit lengthy, but listen carefully. He said, though we live in a reading age and in a reading community, yet the preaching of the gospel is the form in which human agency has been and still is most efficaciously employed for the spiritual improvement of men. That's what I was going to tell you. I've said to folks through the years, I said, look, Jesus forgave me of my sin. Jesus made me a child of God. Jesus, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I was birthed into the family of God. But the preaching at church has changed my life. That's what I was going to say. The preaching at church, and that's what Daniel Webster basically said there. Read it again. He said, though we live in a reading age and in a reading community, yet the preaching of the gospel is the form in which human agency has been and still is most efficaciously employed for the spiritual improvement of men. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, preach not calmly and quietly as though you were asleep, but preach with fire and pathos and passion. That kind of preaching, friend, that's touched by the Holy Spirit of God, can change a life in a moment of time. Preaching brings us to God. Preaching keeps us close to God. Preaching helps us conform to the image of God. Preaching causes us to love God. And preaching allows us to know God. And preaching motivates us to serve God. Now, I don't know about you, but it didn't take long after I got saved for me to develop a love and a hunger for preaching. Before I got saved, it was the most boring thing in all the world to me. All the most boring. But after I got saved, brother, when you get the Spirit of God living inside of you, all of a sudden it takes on a whole new dimension. No doubt about it. I took on a love for it. I enjoyed the preaching of my pastor where I got saved, Pastor Strickland. I enjoyed his preaching. Oh, I love it. Loved it. Loved it. I enjoyed Mike Hagee's preaching. He was the director of the home. But as we would travel from church to church, many times Mike would preach. And I remember particularly a sermon that he had on Judas Iscariot. My goodness, he got down to that part where Judas kissed the cheek of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to betray him. And he said, "Friend, why betrayest thou me with a kiss?" And I can almost recall and even see Mike preaching that sermon. I enjoyed his preaching. And then I got to hear Mike would take us to Highland Park Baptist Church down in Chattanooga. We only lived about 50 miles from Highland Park, and Lee Robertson would preach there, and I would go down there, and he'd take us boys down, and we'd hear Lee Robertson preach, and see that choir come out, and hear J.R. Faulkner lead that crowd in singing, "Behold, He Comes, Behold, He Comes, Behold, and every eye shall see Him," and oh my goodness, he used to sit in the balcony, and he'd hear Lee Robertson, that stately man, double-breasted, navy blue suit, that's all he wore. Never wore a black suit, never wore a beige suit, tan suit, all he wore was double-breasted, navy blue suits, his whole ministry. And hear him preach, and oh my goodness. And then once in a while, they'd have special meetings down in Chattanooga. And every one time, Mike said, "Boys, we're going to load up, put your church clothes on. We're going to church tonight, and we're going to drive down to Chattanooga. We're leaving at such and such a time." On the way to the church, he didn't tell us what was going on, but on the way to the church, I remember we went over an overpass. Now, Mike was crazy. He was absolutely nuts. And that's why I guess he could have a ministry to boys like us. And so we drove, we're in a van. There's 13 of us boys and 14 of us. He drives over an overpass, and underneath the overpass is these power lines or telephone lines or something. Just, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of pigeons. Hundreds of them. And he always carried a shotgun in the van. Always carried a shotgun in the van. And so he parked the van, and he said, "Kevin, get in here and drive." And he said, "Get out of the..." And so he switched, he got in the driver's seat, and he said, "Pull over the overpass." And he sticks the shotgun out the window in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Bam! And them pigeons start falling and flying all over the place. And he was crazy. He was crazy. Absolutely crazy. Just nuts. But we loved him. I tell you, we all loved him. And we got to the church, and we got there late. We got there late because we stopped to shoot the pigeons, all right? So we got there late. And I know, you know, you say that's cruel, inhumane. Yeah, I don't know what happened. What am I going to do? That was, you know, 1975. What am I going to do? We didn't have PETA back in 1975. That's what it is. If we'd had PETA, we wouldn't have done that. And by the way, I am sick of the liberals trying to apologize for how we got Bin Laden. Can't we just enjoy something, huh? You know, we shouldn't feel that. Justice was served, friend. Justice. Don't forget that God's a God of love. God is a God of justice, too. Don't forget that. Can't we just enjoy it? I did. Man, praise God. That's wonderful. But anyway. So we got to the church late, packed. Now, we didn't know who it was. It was packed. We got to the church late. And so the ushers, they said, "There's 14 of us." And they said, "Well, fellas, the only place..." I mean, they got the place is packed out in the pews. The choir is jammed full. And they said, "The only place we got is to sit around the platform, around the pulpit." And so they brought us and sat us. The chairs were in there was no altar. There was nothing. We sat on the platform. And I sat right here. And Mike and out walked the pastor and evangelist Lester Roloff. And Lester Roloff was there to preach. He stood right here, and I sat right there and got to look up in Lester Roloff's face the whole time he preached that night. Honestly, stirred. Another time, Brother Hagee said, "Fellas, put your church clothes on. We're going down to Chattanooga tonight. I'm going to take you to a meeting." And I heard Jim Vineyard preached for the first time. And all, I couldn't believe it, man. He was all over the platform. And then after he got done, two messages in one night. Can you believe that? I couldn't believe it. Two messages in one night. And then Jack House followed him. And so I heard, and I saw Jim Vineyard after it was over. I'll never forget this. I saw Jim Vineyard. Brother House preached up a sweat. I saw Jim Vineyard go and find Brother House's coat and bring the coat to him and put Brother House's coat, help him get his coat on so he wouldn't catch a cold. That's called being a servant. That's called being a servant. And I heard those men preach. And my goodness, I remember the first conference I attended was a youth conference at First Baptist Church in Hammond. Mike took us up to that conference. When I left home to get ready to go to Bible college in 1976, I found out that the National Sword of the Lord Conference was being held in Atlanta at the convention center, downtown Atlanta. And none of my family was really interested in going, but I thought, my goodness. And I called Grandma Angel. She was a church-going, preaching, loving lady. And I said, Grandma, the Sword of the Lord Conference. She said, I know, it's down in Atlanta. I said, would you like to go? I'd love to go. So I picked Grandma up. First night I heard John Rice and Jerry Falwell preach. And then the second, we heard Truman Dollar and Curtis Hudson and I don't know how many men. On Thursday night, I had my wisdom teeth out. All four of them cut out. So Thursday night, I was all swallowed like a chipmunk and hurt pretty bad. I didn't go Thursday, but on Friday morning, I didn't go. And then Friday night, we went and heard John Rice and Jack. I heard Jack House close it out. I still remember the sermon Brother House preached, Where Be All His Miracles, out of the book of Judges on the man Gideon. Where Be All His Miracles. I'm talking about, folks, that's 1976. What is that? 35 years ago? And it's still in my mind like it was there tonight. That's 35 years ago. I'm talking about things just absolutely. And when I was over here in Bible college, you'd think that being in Bible college, you'd get enough preaching. But I heard, I was working a third shift job, and I heard that over in Cedar Lake, Indiana, right over here, they were having a mini-sword conference. Brother Campbell, you may remember that mini-sword conference at Cedar Lake. And they had Lee Robertson and Jack Howes and John Rice. And I thought, how in the world can I sit in my dorm when those three men are preaching less than an hour drive from the, 30-minute drive from the campus? All it was probably 30-minute drive, maybe 40-minute drive. And so I went over there and got to sit on the front row, little old bitty auditorium, packed and jammed. And Lee Robertson preached, and man, he raised the chair up above his head. Never forget that. He was a stately man. He didn't get too sensational. But he raised a chair up over his head that night, and John Rice sat on the platform and outlined his sermon and got up and preached. And then the guy that was with me, I wish I'd have done this. As soon as the services ended, he bounded up the little platform and he said, Dr. Rice, could I have that outline? And John Rice just gave him his outline, and he put it in his Bible and had a handwritten outline by John Rice. And then the next night, John Rice and Dr. House. I'm telling you what, I remember that. I got out to Iowa, and Brother Brown and I attended the Southwide Baptist Fellowship down in Louisville, Kentucky. I heard John Rawlins preach with his red Bible. I mean, old bright red Bible. Dr. John Rawlins, preached up a storm. Other guys preached down there. And then pastor school through the years, and God Save America conferences and Revival Fires conferences, the Nationals and so forth. Oh, what a blessing preaching has been to my heart, friend. And the Bible says, in due times, God has manifested His Word through preaching. And, you know, it just seems like there have been so many countless times in these 30-something years of being saved that God brought the message through the preacher just when I needed to hear it. Just when I needed to hear it. And we had some great preaching this past Monday and Tuesday in this conference. I mean, tremendous preaching. I'm telling you, Tuesday morning, I hate to say it, I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm telling you, Tuesday morning was through the roof. It was through the roof. And if you were here, you know I'm not exaggerating. You know the Holy Ghost of God came in this place Tuesday morning. I'm telling you, friend. Brother Gomez preached an unbelievable message on the prodigal son, getting the prodigal son home. Unbelievable message. And then Brother Robertson preached on getting the clay out of the way. You talk about two messages that just went together like this. Oh, my goodness. And there were tears, and there was weeping, and there was a blessed touch of the Holy Spirit. And then Tuesday night, Brother Coral's message on Romans 8:28. My, what a message. Ah, my. How our hearts were blessed. And if you were here, you know what I mean. And so I'm talking about the preaching, I'm talking about the meetings. You know, and these preaching conferences, you know, it was always opportunity for something a little different. You know, God, a different voice, and God would use different men and different. It's interesting for me as the pastor to have different men in and see how different people in the church respond to different men. You have Brother Coral in, and there's a segment of you folks who just love to hear Brother Coral. Frank Kent loves to hear Dennis Coral. Just loves to hear Dennis Coral. And mentions, and some of you others, and then others of you like this preacher, and others of you like Brother Sharp, and others of you like this preacher. And you know, it's amazing how God uses different voices to speak to different hearts, isn't it? It's amazing. And I want to tell you something, friend, that never bothers me. In fact, I want you to enjoy other men. I am not flattered by this crowd that says, well, the only one that really speaks to my heart is you. I'm not flattered by that. In fact, I'm discouraged by it. That doesn't flatter me. That discourages me. Friend, you need to be open to men preaching the Word of God. Amen? And boy, oh boy, these men preached. It was a blessing. And God has done that so many times, and He did again this past week, and I trust that He will do it again and again. Now, listen, when it comes to preaching and so forth, and preaching conferences, was it last August? I think it was last August, the Sunday before football camp, I believe it was, Brother Coral was here Sunday morning. The Sunday before football camp, and he spoke here on Sunday morning, and I took him out to the house for lunch. I don't think you were there. I can't remember. But we had something to eat. I cooked some food on the grill, and we began to talk. And we began to talk about his national conference, and then we met again. We've been talking on the phone two or three times, and then he met again. We met again early Tuesday morning this past week. The National Revival Fires Conference has been hosted by Brother Fugit at Lexington, Kentucky for the last several years. And just had a wonderful conference down there. But they're like everybody else financially. It's been difficult for their church for these times, like everybody else has. And Brother Coral asked Brother Fugit, Brother Jeff, do you need a year off? And he said, Brother Coral, that would really be a help. And he said, listen, he said, I'll find a place to host it. And so last August, Brother Coral approached me about the possibility of bringing the national conference here to Bourbonnais, Illinois. And I was floored. I was floored. I was scared to death, floored, and I thought, boy, I don't know. We've talked a little bit back and forth about it. We met, and I said, Brother Coral, let me just pray about it. And I was kind of using this past Monday and Tuesday as a guinea pig. And I just really was. And after all that took place this last Monday and Tuesday, I agreed that Brother Coral would like to bring his national conference here next year. In the year 2012, I'm absolutely amazed and just floored. So I wanted to tell you about it. I want you to, if you can, I'll tell you again. Maybe give you a piece of paper on it, but write these dates down: April 23 through 27. April 23 through 27. That's going to be a historical week for our church. I believe a week of anointed, helpful Bible preaching, not only for our church, but for hopefully dozens of others as well. Now, I've attended some of these national conferences. I have preached in a few of them. And it's unbelievable. In fact, he asked me to preach in the one next April. I said, absolutely not. I can't do that. I can't host a conference and preach. And I don't need to do that. So, but you're talking about 21 to 22 preachers coming in and preaching from this platform. 21 to 22 different men from all over the country. A lot of older men. A lot of older men. Men who've been at it for years and years and years and years. And some evangelists and some pastors and a few new men, young men, that Brother Coral uses in his meetings. Probably 20 different preachers. It absolutely, folks, has the potential to be an incredible, incredible week. And I want to tell you well enough in advance, April 23 through 27. Now, let me say three things about it, and we're going to be done tonight. I told you it was a little bit different message. But I believe this with all my heart. Everything I said prior to telling you that conference is coming here, I believe with all of my heart. I believe that the vehicle that God has chosen to manifest His Word in due time is the vehicle of preaching. I believe that with all of my heart. So we'll talk about three things. And we'll talk, number one, about the week. The week, the W-E-E-K, the week, the week. That's a Monday through a Friday. Now, we're not going to have a big day on Sunday. We're not going to have special guests in on Sunday. We're going to have a normal Sunday. I don't want to wear everybody out on the weekend like we had for Friend Day and so forth. So we're not going to do that. We're going to have a normal day on Sunday. And then we're going to have this meeting Monday through Friday, Monday night through Friday night. two preachers all five nights, and then three preachers Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. In fact, Wednesday night there may be one preacher, but the rest of all mornings, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, three preachers. Now listen, Monday through Friday meetings are almost extinct in this day and age. I know what I'm talking about. They're almost gone. I want you to hear me. In years gone by, it was common for preaching meetings to last anywhere from 3 to 6 to 8 weeks. That was common. Mordecai Ham, Billy Graham in younger years, other evangelists, John Rice, Bob Jones Sr. Get Builder of Bridges. Get Bob Jones Sr. biography and read it sometime. Go for weeks. Sometimes those men would begin to preach, and for the first 2 or 3 weeks, they wouldn't even give an invitation. They'd preach and then send everybody home. And then after the Spirit of God had ample time to soften the ground and work on the heart, they'd give the invitation, and oh, the Holy Spirit of God would move in that thing in unbelievable power. And Billy Sunday, I mean, we're talking, folks, about 3 to 6 to 8 weeks of meetings. I mean, just where people went to the meeting week after week after. That was common practice in our country in years gone by. Common practice. And then 1 to 2 weeks became the norm. It got to be there would be 2 week meetings. And then 1 week meetings were popular when I got saved back in the 70s. Folks had one. I remember Brother Brown. When I went to Maryland, Brother Brown had week long meetings. They used to have Dick Seaton come. Remember that, Brian? Dick Seaton had a long teeth. Old Dick Seaton, the longest teeth. He said, "You're ungodly television." And it was like he was biting it off, you know, just And he'd just preach up a storm, man. It was unbelievable. Preach all week. Start on Sunday morning and end on Friday night. Yeah. I can see this is troubling some of you folks already to think about this thing less than a week. I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. And now we have to work and beg people to come to 1 or 2 days. 1 or 2 days. And even major conferences end on Thursday night. As time has progressed, people are less and less available for preaching services. That's true. Some of you folks unwilling to alter your plans or your activities to attend this last 2 day meeting. You just wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't change your plans. Wouldn't alter your plans. It's bygone now. I'm not going to rant and rave about it, but just wouldn't change your plans. Wouldn't do it. And that's the mindset of American Christianity today. Now you tell me, friend, the power and the depth and the breadth of our modern day Christianity as opposed to the Christianity of years gone by. You talk to me about that. And those of you that have been saved for a while, you talk to me about that. And be honest. And then you try to argue that the decline is not tied to the unwillingness of God's people to give Him time? And isn't that one of the most ironic things in all of the world? That we fuss and complain about giving time to the God who gives us life? Oh, that doesn't make sense to me. Gives us life! Life! And we fuss. Well, we go about 2 days. You talk to me about it. I don't understand it. God is our life. I know some of you had work schedules, and I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about the people that had work schedules. I am not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about that at all. At all. But I understand people just not coming. I understand. And fussing about and canceling Wednesday night church, I'll never do that again. I'll never do it. We didn't gain any more on Tuesday night, but some of you took the opportunity not to come to church on Tuesday night. That's what you did. Just missed away. So I said I wasn't going to fuss about it, and I'm not. But it's just very ironic to me. I'm not. Okay, that's it. And I, you know, hey, look, folks, I decided a long time ago, and when I go to churches to preach, and sometimes the pastor's apologetic for the crowd, and I thought our crowds were decent. And the pastor would be apologetic. I said, Pastor, I'm not worried about the people that aren't here. I'm worried about the people who are here. And the people who are here, God can touch their hearts and bless them. And so that's all that matters. So, and listen, I like what they said long, long time ago. Somebody was talking to Brother Coral. Somebody said, if you plan your church calendar to appease the people who don't want to go to church, you'll starve the spiritual people. So we're not going to plan a calendar for people who aren't hungry for God's Word. We're going to plan a calendar for people who enjoy it and who like it. And I'm going to tell you something. So we're going to go a whole week. We're going to go Monday through Friday. We're going to go from Monday night and Tuesday morning and Tuesday night and Wednesday morning and Wednesday night and Thursday morning and Thursday night and Friday morning and Friday night. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a repeat of what used to take place 35 years ago or 34 years ago. So we're going to have a week, the week. Now, number two, I'm going to talk about the dirty four-letter word here, the work. The work. You say, Pastor, won't that take a lot of work? Won't that take a lot of money? Won't that take a lot of preparation? Won't that take a lot of organization? Yes, 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 and yes, it will. It'll take a lot of it all. And we have almost a whole year here. That's why I'm coming to you tonight. Our size church, we can't plan this and do it in 2 months. We have to get started now. So we're going to begin to plan, and we're going to meet this week about it and start getting our heads together as a staff, and we're going to need help. We're going to need organization. And you say, Pastor, do you think we can do this? Well, do some of you remember the God Save America meetings that we hosted here with First Baptist Church in Dwight? You all remember that? Let me just tell you, if you weren't here then, we didn't have this. We had a little old auditorium with a low ceiling, and we had that old gym, and we had to work for weeks to get that gym transformed into an auditorium. Building a platform, building a choir box that one time collapsed over in Dwight. We were having the congregational song, and all of a sudden, crash. And I turned around, and the choir was all tilted over to one side, and the thing absolutely, the whole the platform collapsed. We used to hang light, racks of lights. Remember that? And hang speakers and run power. Folks, we worked and we hung that fabric to create a ceiling. It was weeks of work. And then bringing in chairs. And I mean, it was unbelievable work. But oh, did God bless those things. Mayor Grover Brooks used to be the mayor of Bourbonnais. We invited him down. And they always had a patriotic theme to those meetings. And I invited Mayor Brooks to come and just greet the people. And that was when he stood in, not this pulpit, behind the pulpit in that old gymnasium over there. And he choked up and wept. He cried. He said, I remember going to meetings like this when I was a little boy in Michigan. And it was after that, that a couple times over the years that he was mayor, he called the office and said, Pastor Angel, can I come down and have prayer with you? And came to the office and just things that he was burdened about for the village of Bourbonnais. Now, God bless those meetings. We had then a far smaller crowd than we have now. We had a far smaller workforce, and now we have the auditorium. It's all set up. The sound system is in place. The instruments are in place. The pews, everything is here. The lighting, everything is in. We have the facility. We have it all. We have the buildings. And you know, and we didn't, man, thank God. I never dreamed when we built this building and the one over there across the road that we'd ever be asked to host a national conference. But you remember, we said we wanted these buildings to be tools to be used for God's glory. And God has brought that to fruition. It's unbelievable. And these old meetings I'm talking about here, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Now, you listen real carefully. Those old meetings that we had over in that old gymnasium, they helped make this place what it is today. Some of you young adults need to remember that. Because people went through a lot of work, sweat, and toil to hold those kind of meetings that help make this church what it is today that you enjoy. And then you sit home. What are you doing for the next generation? I mean, the very thing we enjoy here was because of things like that. Unbelievable. Those meetings helped me. You say, well, Brother Angel, that's an awful lot. Yes, it's work, but what good thing doesn't require work? What good thing doesn't? And God bless His work. And, you know, yes, we need help. And if any of you men have the extra vacation time, then you can take a week off, you know, this far in advance. It would be helpful. Just be available to help. We're going to have nursery help. And Brother Woodward, I know Brother Woodward is going to help us. He already told me he would. And those ladies have been so kind to help us in the past. But we're going to have nursery. We're going to have choir 5 nights. That's 5 nights choir song. Choir, that's music, that's food. A couple times we're going to have a couple of meals. We're going to have to cleaning, transportation. We got 21 guys coming in. Many of them will come into the airports up here in Chicago. It's unbelievable. So we're going to need some help, but that's the work, and God blesses the work. And then so you got the week, and you got the work, and then you got the wealth. The wealth. You talking about how much it costs? No, I'm talking about the wealth. What value will it hold for us? Now, I don't know what it will hold for us, because honestly, it's going to take all of us to pull this thing off. But it doesn't have to be for us. It could be for some other men. It could be for other preachers. It could be for other preachers to come here and have happen in their hearts what has happened in other men's hearts over the years, where God reaches down and just... I remember well walking into the auditorium after Dr. Howes had finished preaching the sermon on fresh oil, and taking 3 or 4 steps into that auditorium and just knowing God is in this place. And I mean, I didn't know Denny Coral in those days. Denny Coral was on his face weeping. I could hear men crying all over the auditorium. And I have no idea what kind of wealth will be in next year's Revival Fires National Conference. No idea for other men, for other people. I know this. I know Curtis Hudson was a mail carrier. And he pastored on the side. He pastored a small primitive Baptist church. He was a hard shell primitive Baptist, which means he was a hyper Calvinist. And he would deliver mail. And he wasn't supposed to do this, but he was delivering the sword of the Lord. He would deliver, he started delivering a sword of the Lord to this house that was getting the sword of the Lord. And I thought about that. Huh, the sword of the Lord. What is that? The sword of the Lord. And I think the story goes, don't quote me on this, I think the people had moved or something and left a forwarding address, and he had to take the sword of the Lord back to the post office to get it forwarded. And on the way back, when he got back, he parked his truck and he looked at the sword of the Lord. He just thought, I'm going to look at it. And on the back page, there was a Sword of the Lord conference, and the speakers were John Rice and Jack Hiles at the Antioch Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, I'm going to go. And Curtis Hudson went to that meeting. And it wasn't as well attended as the meeting we had here this past Monday and Tuesday. It was smaller than this meeting. And I heard Dr. Rice tell, heard Dr. Hiles tell, how Dr. Rice and him sat in the Atlanta airport after the conference was over to catch the flights out back to home, and said, Dr. Rice, and said, all right. He's doing a glass. He said, well, Dr. Hiles, this one was a flop, wasn't it? This one was a flop, wasn't it? Wasn't any good, was it? Brother Hiles said, it looked like it, Brother Rice. They didn't know that in that meeting, Curtis Hudson sat out there and heard them preach about Bible preaching and soul winning. And Curtis Hudson went home and learned how to win people to Christ. And went out and built the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, the largest church in the state of Georgia for years and years. And I just met somebody who came from that church when Curtis Hudson was the pastor some years ago. That happened in one conference. One conference. Wouldn't you like to be the host church for a conference that God uses to stir the heart of some man of God? Wouldn't you like to be that? Man. You think about the wealth that's in that, friend. I was up in Canada the weekend of the Thursday night, Friday and Saturday before Friend Day, and I don't have time to go into how all that transpired. It wasn't supposed to happen. Our meeting wasn't supposed to happen May 1st. Anyway, you know who is? I got to tell you. Can I tell you? We're in good time here. Some of you will remember Years ago, during the Vietnam War, there was a picture, a very famous picture, of some kids running down a road, and behind them was a bombed-out village. The little girl was about that tall, didn't have any clothes on. And she was crying, had her mouth wide open. Her little brother beside her, two of her brothers beside her. It was a picture taken in 1972 during the Vietnam War. That little girl grew up, and I don't know the whole story, but somehow got to Canada and defected. Her and her brother defected to Canada. And she ended up at the Fairway Baptist Church in Ajax, Ontario, Canada, and has been saved in a Baptist church up there all these years, as her brother has, and I preached to their children in that youth conference up there. The kids of those, go home, look, you can find it, archive it, you can look it up. You'll see the picture. And they're running this bombed out village. And I mean, the poor little thing has no clothes on. And little brother, they got to Canada and got in the Baptist church and got born again. And their kids were at that youth conference here just a couple weeks ago. Unbelievable. But anyway, the pastor up there, Brother Leroy Pennell, you know, Brett went to your school, went to Oklahoma Baptist College. And Brother Leroy Pennell was just in a different denomination altogether, just dead as a doornail, and went to a Sword of the Lord conference, went to pastor school, and God changed his life. And they up there in Ontario, in Barrie, Ontario, Canada, unbelievable church, unbelievable. 420-something teenagers at that conference in Canada. It's incredible. And all that came out of a preaching conference. You see, folks, there is great value in the preaching of God's Word. There's great wealth for the child of God in the preaching of His Word. So, church, I want to tell us way, way, way far in advance. And because Brother Coral is going to put it in his paper, and I don't want you to hear from somebody else. I want you to hear from me that, Lord willing, Jesus doesn't come. Next April, we're going to have a great opportunity as a church to host a week-long conference. Unbelievable time. And we need your help. We'll need your involvement. And we'll all get our hearts blessed and be ready to hear the Word of God preached, because that's God's chosen vehicle. Amen. So I'm excited about it. When I stop to think about it, I get a little nervous. And yes, it's going to take some money, but I am going to try not to bombard you with offerings. I've got a couple of things I'll talk to Brother Jason here about this week. A couple of ideas about our regular giving and how to make every penny count. And even start putting some. We're going to start putting some away this week, because it's an expensive thing. But I am. Blessed. I pinch myself. I can't believe that he wants to bring that conference to our church. And what an opportunity we're going to have about a year from now to have this conference. Amen? And you know what that means. You know the devil's going to be stirred up for a while. You know that. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you. You know what would be a good thing tonight? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just ask this question just because I need to. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody like that, pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. You know what I would like tonight? These closing moments that we have here. I wonder tonight if you men, any man that would want to, I wonder if we could have you men, and even some of you teenage boys, you'd want to tonight, to just gather at the altar here, and let's just have just a brief time of prayer. And I know it's a long ways out. I know it's about 11 months out. But it wouldn't hurt us as a church right now. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Let's have the attitude Mary, the mother of Jesus, had when Gabriel said, you're going to have this boy. And she said, behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. Let's just give ourselves to God tonight to be a servant and to ask God to do some wonderful things here in about 11 months. And we begin to prepare our hearts and prepare our church for this time. So ladies, as you play, just softly on the piano only, just the piano, Kelly. And fellas, if you'll join us tonight, let's just have a season of prayer here just for a brief time. Why don't you come? Ladies, you're welcome to join in your pew there. Just kneel if you want to, if you feel like compelled to do so. Let's pray tonight. Let's ask God's blessing. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. To God, we pray tonight that you'll hear our prayer and you'll cleanse and prepare our hearts, oh God. We give ourselves to you. Oh Lord, you've chosen down through time the vehicle of preaching to make your word known. God, many, 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 many hearts have been stirred, lives changed. Men called to ministry. So much has taken place for the cause of Christ through the vehicle of preaching. Lord, the fact that you'd honor us by allowing us to host a conference like this is beyond our comprehension. I pray that you'll prepare us. Make us a fit vessel for your use. Oh God, please give us a servant's heart. Give us Holy Ghost power. Give us unction and anointing. And I pray that you'll bless Brother Coral. Be with him, oh Lord. I know the price he pays for that meeting. I pray that we'll enter into it with him. Have a great conference. Lord Jesus, we don't know whether or not you'll come between now and then, but if you're still in heaven when next April rolls around, we pray that you'll be the preeminent guest and the one lifted and exalted above all others at that meeting. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Thank you. Go back to your seat. We finish tonight.